I would like to call again the Finance Committee meeting to order. What we will do today is we will have the opportunity for the citizens to speak if they would like to. You'll have 2 minutes when you come up. We do know that the there probably are some people here for the non-departmental items, so we'll take those. There will be recommendations after. So if anybody that would like to speak, 2 minutes, come up to the...
Hi, everybody. So we are up for review for a grant that we applied
for. Can I interrupt you?
Oh, yes.
I just did, didn't I?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You can do whatever you like.
Do we have an approval for the minutes of the March 4th meeting?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, thank you. I'm sorry for that. Go ahead.
Okay, so thank you for your consideration for a grant request for Housing for All Mount Pleasant. I just read yesterday in the paper that a couple of restaurants had to shut their doors because of staffing changes, staffing shortages, and Kitchen 208. So the affordable housing issue kind of goes up and down the food chain. It's a livability issue, not a charity issue, and that makes the way that we fundraise a little different than traditional charity would fundraise. We're working with the best minds in the region through the Charleston County Task Force on Affordable Housing. The consensus is that we need a regular, steady, permanent stream of funds for this kind of work in our region. So this grant will help sustain us while we are putting our heads together about where those funds are going to come from. So this problem did not happen overnight. It was decades in the making. It's not going to be fixed tomorrow, but we have some really exciting projects in the works. And one is the preservation and the protection of existing housing stock. We're working with underserved communities to identify projects that are in need of repair. That's one of our big focuses this year. We've created an inventory of available public land as well as a rental property inventory to see what can be preserved for affordable housing. That's a strategy we're approaching, as well as working with a sociologist at the College of Charleston to create a workforce survey to survey the workforce of Mount Pleasant to find out what their needs are. We're also in the early stages of developing a partnership with a builder and developer that will hopefully yield units at well below market rates. That's a longer term strategy. And then we have our public education campaign that we're rolling out about what affordable housing is and what benefits it could bring to the town. And I won't take up your time anymore. There are some big city problems that we really want to work with you to tackle. So thanks.
Thank you very much.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Hi, and thank you for what you're doing. But I have a question. You know, the town has tried to take on that finding a way. We've established the task force. We've done the nonprofit. We've done all these things. Is this really an affordability issue, or is this a too low pay issue?
You can't really separate the two. They kind of go hand in hand. So we're exploring strategies to work with employers to create some sort of affordable housing through employers, whether that be encouraging them to lease units and then lease them out to their employees at a lower rate. We're exploring any and all possibilities. But yeah, I mean, it's a transportation issue. It's an affordability issue. It's all of that.
But could... Yeah, I just don't know if not somehow if the a living wage would fix this, and you know maybe we're going, and I'm not suggesting the town get into fixing or setting wages, but you know those folks who are having the lack of employees because of affordability, and they're the ones that are harping on that issue, you know, I think they should participate in that more, one way or another.
You make a very good point, and both of those jobs were paying pretty good wages. They started at $12 an hour, I believe, which is well above minimum wage, so they certainly aren't the lowest paying jobs, But yeah, property, you have to make about like $15 an hour to afford fair market rent in Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments? Catherine?
Catherine Main, 1968 Oak Tree Lane, and Executive Director of the East Cooper Land Trust, and also am speaking on behalf of our grant application. As you're well aware, our population continues to increase, and this puts pressure on the natural resources and beauty that we love in our community. The East Cooper Land Trust is a nationally accredited land trust with the specific mission of permanently conserving land with environmental, cultural, and historical value in our community. Thank you so much for the funds that we received last year. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without your support. And I wanted to highlight a few things that we did last year with the funds that we received from the town. It supported our efforts to permanently conserve 11 acres in Mount Pleasant's Somerset Oaks neighborhood. This parcel serves as a scenic buffer and a significant natural habitat for wildlife and plants in Mount Pleasant. We placed permanent protection on a parcel at the entrance of Scanlonville, a settlement community. This was then donated to the East Cooper Civic Club and will forever be a passive park. Our work with the East Cooper Trail continues. We're planning and fundraising for a one-mile segment called the Kenny Mile. This is scheduled to open in 2019 and has been included in your draft comprehensive plan as part of the Mount Pleasant Way. Our organization was originally founded in 2002 under the town of Mount Pleasant and has worked to protect properties in and around the town of Mount Pleasant ever since then. We proactively seek conservation solutions in our community. To date, we've protected over 640 acres in Mount Pleasant, and we annually steward these. Our three-person staff is devoted to cultivating and executing land conservation projects that will protect and improve the quality of life for all residents in the town. So I just ask you to fund our efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine, and thanks to your group for what you do. Is there any other comments? Please give your name for the record.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Harry Sewell. What a blessing to be here. I'm here with East Cooper Meals on Wheels. We've been in existence since 1985, and many of you all are aware of this, but we serve approximately an average of 300 daily. We have a volunteer group of 450. There's seven staff members, and it's a tremendous ministry as far as it goes. And Mayor Haney rode just last week, as a matter of fact, and we've served 158,000 meals last year, and the town has been tremendous support of us. And what I would say to all of y'all is, y'all come see it. And take one doorstep, come drive, and it'll melt your heart. It's not age limit. It's we don't care if you're homebound. It has nothing to do with income. It doesn't. It's just the need, and it fills that need. So what I ask is this: if you'll just look at the possibility of continuing the support, we really appreciate that tremendously. The other thing we look for is any need you see. If you have neighbors or this in your churches and that, come to us, because that's what we do. And we just appreciate all the support. Thank you.
Thank you, former police chief Harry Sewell. You're just in public service all your life, aren't you?
Good stuff.
That is. Good. Thank you. Any other comments?
Good afternoon. My name is Dawn Cayley, and I am with Pet Helpers. We've been established since 1978. I'm not going to go over what we put in for the grant. What I'm going to say is just long-term, what we're going to be doing, we're interested in actually building finding a brick and mortar for and establishing ourselves in Mount Pleasant. We feel that there's a need because we do receive a lot of pets, and we have a lot of people coming to us through Mount Pleasant. So eventually within our strategy in the next 3 years is to actually establish a brick and mortar in Mount Pleasant. So we're hoping that you will continue and consider funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Anyone else? Please.
Hi, I'm Andrew McLaughlin from 1107 Musket Range. I am here on behalf of Engaging Creative Minds, a arts integration educational nonprofit in the Lowcountry. We are, first, thank you all for your consideration of our continuing support of our programming. Normally, we would have two of our principals here with us today, but since it is a school day and they're just back from spring break, they sent a couple things for me to read on their behalf, so I will share those with you all. Ms. Felder at Jenny Moore Elementary said she is honored and greatly appreciates being part of ECM, and she says thanks for the generous support from the town of Mount Pleasant. Because of this funding, ECM has been able to expand arts education into other Mount Pleasant schools, giving teachers new skills and strategies to help all children learn through the arts. And Ms. Fountain at James B. Edwards said the James B. Edwards family would like to thank the town of Mount Pleasant for supporting the expansion of arts integration in our school this year. Our students have learned so much because of the innovative and creative programs ECM provides. It is our hope that you can continue to support ECM at James B. Edwards, as well as other schools in Mount Pleasant for the 2019-2020 school year. So thank you all. We are hoping to expand this year. So right now we're in four schools, Carolina Park, James B. Edwards, Jenny Moore, and Whitesides. We're looking to do a pilot program in the upcoming year in Bell Hall Elementary School, which should put us up over 2,500 students in Mount Pleasant that are affected, which is about 25% of our programming across the Lowcountry. So thank you all for helping us create a ripple effect to unlock the potential for all the kids through arts integration.
Thank you, Andrew. Any other speakers for today? Oh, please.
Good afternoon, Finance Committee. My name's Don Squires. I'm the Director of Development at Wynwood Family Services here in Mount Pleasant and Allendale. We've been around providing help, hope, and healing since 1985 here in the Charleston area. We operate a residential group home for boys out in Allendale, as a lot of people know, but we also operate a brick-and-mortar outpatient therapy clinic in Mount Pleasant at 900 Johnny Dodge Boulevard. We see around 200 to 300 patients through that program a year, and a lot are continued residents that are from the farm that have transitioned into forever homes that we can continue working with. As part of our grant cycle this year, through the town of Mount Pleasant, we requested funds to go towards our community-based prevention program, which operates out of our office in Mount Pleasant. And this is a program that goes into the homes of families that are at risk of losing their kids in all three counties. Last year, we were in over 500 homes in the Tri-County area, with 150 of those being in Mount Pleasant alone. A lot of those homes are some of the toughest battles we go into, because in Mount Pleasant, our fight has been custody a lot, of working with both sides of a family trying to figure out what's best for your kids and how do we stop DSS from coming in and taking action. We range from helping people with basic human needs of food, clothing, shelter, of helping those families keep their kids through providing those needs, and sometimes it's us helping a 15-year-old learn how to be a parent. So we are all the way across the board. We started in 85 as a home for boys, but we're in all three counties now helping in the prevention so that they never get to that point. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support through the years.
Thank you, Don. Yeah. Okay. Are there any other comments? All right. With none. And for those of you that spoke and requested, that this will be a part of this discussion that Marcy's going to go through. So if you want to lead us off, or Eric, as far as the budget, whichever.
Okay, yes, sir. So I'm going to start with general fund revenues. They begin in your budget document on page 7. So overall, the revenues from fiscal year 2019 to fiscal year 2020 decreased 9%, and this is due to the one-time use of fund balance in fiscal year 2019. So if you exclude the use of fund balance, we're projected to increase 3% in our revenues. On page 8 begins the detail, but here are some of the highlights. Property and other taxes have an overall increase of 5%. Some large changes within that category are current taxes, local sales tax, and local option sales tax rollback. Other notable changes in revenue is the inclusion of the Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response Grant, or SAFER grant, even though, if awarded, it will still require full town council acceptance. This is shown under state and federal grants. We also have the inclusion of additional funding from the school district for SROs. The recently adopted increase in the NPDES fee is included. We also have a reduction in fines and forfeitures to reflect the trend we're seeing in alternative sentencing and how indigent individuals pay assessed fines. There is an increase in our interest earning. We are using the local government investment pool. And, of course, the decrease in the use of fund balance. Those are general fund revenues. Any questions on those before I move to capital fund?
Mr. Bustos?
Yes, sir.
Marcy, with short-term rentals getting ready to ramp up and the numbers that were projected that we would have, how's that going to impact what we have?
We have neither included the regulatory side, staffing or any of that piece, nor the funding. Later on in the agenda, we will be looking at the business license ordinance, and I have some numbers at that time for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have a question, ma'am? Sure. Please.
I don't see where it is here, but maybe it is included. Wasn't there an issue with SCE&G before, some $900,000 number? Where does that, because it's not going to come to us anymore.
What happened is we were expecting a 15% decrease. We do monitor that through our business license office, and our business license official reached out to them, and they gave us a number because it's based on last calendar year. So while it did take a decrease, it wasn't the 900 that we originally anticipated, and they felt that the number we were using was stable, so we did use that number for the 5 years.
So where would that even be?
It's on the
licenses and permits, or?
It is on licenses, yes, ma'am. So it's the second line down, public utility licenses. And you'll see a decrease of $337,000 to the overall account. Page 8.
I see it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
One question. You may not be able to answer this. Eric may or somebody. And I could be wrong. But I think that I heard during some Charleston County School District discussions that they also had a goal to have a school resource officer in all of the schools. Are there any schools that the Charleston County School District are funding in other places, and if so, would we want to talk to them about funding ours? Or
they partially fund us now.
They do partially fund us now. Okay, good.
They pay currently $36,601 per SRO that they have. That does not include the East Cooper Montessorian Charter,
right,
nor does it include Oceanside. But there are other ones. They do give us a portion. It lasts till about January, February of the school year, and then it's local funds that
My
are picking it up.
My question is inconsistency. Nobody's getting a better deal than we are, I guess. Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Behind the Capital Asset Fund tab on page 117 is a summary of the Capital Asset Fund's revenue. It's hard to compare revenues proposed in fiscal year 2020 to fiscal year 2019, as fiscal year 2019 includes a carryover of all existing non-expended project funds from all prior years. But in general, let me tell you some of the highlights. Hospitality tax, we're projecting it to grow at 3.5%. Accommodations tax at 5%. Intergovernmental revenues include anticipation of an award for a generator for this building, for the other half of this building, Greenbelt funding for the Mount Pleasant Way, special permit funding, and county accommodations tax. Charges for services is our stormwater fees, and it does include a proposed increase in the stormwater fee. Special assessments are our impact fees. The other revenue sources include proceeds from the proposed $20 million borrowing and proceeds from a lease purchase for large equipment for public services. Transfers in is the transfer in from the general fund to mostly support our comprehensive maintenance plan and our asset replacement plan. And then the use of revenues for fund balance are special revenues fund balance, not general fund balance.
Cool. Any questions? Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir. Now I'm going to shift to general government, that department's expenditures. So the highlights, the budget includes the average 4% pay for performance, the mandated 1% increase in employees' retirement cost, and one additional position. The position is an information technology technician to provide end-user help desk and support for the town's computer replacement plan. The town currently has two IT technicians at a staffing ratio of 250-1, where Nation suggests that the end-user support should be 70-1. So this will give us another person to help with our staff, directly with our staff. The budget also includes funding of $50,000 for the fall elections and funding for the quadrennial classification and compensation study. And I just wanted to say that word because it's pretty cool. I had to look it up. The large decrease in contractual services reflects the reallocation of some of the technology expenditure to be more appropriately shown in the capital replacement asset for technology.
Okay, any questions on this, anyone? Okay.
Next is the non-departmental expenditures. In this account, you'll find, and it begins on page 40, and you'll find things that don't really belong in any other specific area. The non-departmental budget includes a proposed increase of $25,000 to begin the development of additional employee incentives for town-valued certifications and licenses. It also includes a 2% increase in insurances such as property and casualty, along with increasing our contingency fund balance to $200,000. This year it was $150,000. Following on page 42 is a summary of proposed funding of donations based on the town's community investment policy. A couple of months ago, we met with the Finance Committee, and we discussed rankings based on the policy. Based on that, this is what we're proposing at $100,000 worth of community investment. You'll see the requesting agency, the amount from the current year, the requested amount for fiscal year 2020, how they were scored, and the total scored. The proposed budget of $100,000 was then allocated to fund as many as possible. Increases were limited to 10% of prior funding of that organization. So shown here is the summary chart.
Any questions, anybody on these lists?
There could be a lot of questions, but when are we going to also, we're going to see this again, right, in a different way?
The full council will, but right. For approval, but we won't. There's not going to, remember how last year we sat here and went, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you see in front of you.
Okay.
So if there's any discussions or any alterations, now's the time to speak on this.
Well, I'm going to continue. Okay. I'm going to just mention several things. Nothing against any of them, just simply we do have several that we definitely funded last year that we would not be funding at all. We just heard from the fellow from Engaging Creative Minds. Mount Pleasant Housing for All, I'm a little confused because didn't we just do something with Mount Pleasant Housing?
We did. Yes, we did.
So that's separate
from this. It was a matching grant.
Right.
That's been done and approved. This is a request for next year.
For the new year, right.
Yes.
So the main thing that's higher are the State Guard, D. Norton. Well, I guess there's several. And, of course, the big one at the top, which is East Cooper Mills on Wheels. And because of the fact that those scored a lot higher, we're leaving some things completely out. Is that a good assessment?
Yeah, that's a good assessment. The only question that I had was, last year when we decreased the budget substantially, one of the reasons that we decreased it was because in the middle of the budget year, we had the call to action on the school resource officers, and we needed to find a funding source because we all thought we needed to do that immediately, and that's where we took it. Mm-hmm. So we took it because there was nowhere else to take it from. I guess, you know, that's why that number is kind of where it was last year. It's almost the same.
That would be, Mr. Chairman, you doesn't seem to be working lately. Similar thing has happened this year. Not only are you carrying forward the cost of the SROs, but you're adding six firemen that you're carrying forward the cost,
sure,
as well as a $100,000 grant match.
Right.
So that was another 600 new money that is cutting into this,
right,
year.
Amongst other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other points or questions or things that we want to bring up? It's hard. You know, it's difficult. But okay, you can move on.
Next is the debt service fund. The debt service fund is where all the town's principal and interest funding is located. It is used to pay general obligation bonds, revenue bonds, and lease purchases. For the fiscal year 2020, it includes the town's first payment on the 2019 general obligation bond, the proposed first payment on the stormwater revenue bond for the stormwater improvement program, and a new 5-year lease purchase payment for large equipment for public services and a transit van for the police.
Can you give me an example of large equipment?
Yes, sir. So there's a small refuse truck to...
How much does that cost?
$150,000.
All right. You don't have to...
Eight.
Correct.
I do have it. And then $310,000 each for a fully automated. We have two of those. The transit van, I think, was the lowest at $66,000.
What's the total amount that we have for all the lease purchase items?
Right there, the $1,026,000 is what we would. The rest we have just as part of our normal replacement plan. So we're still funding the police 24 vehicles and the other things. This is just the larger equipment. We space it out over 5 years and don't cash purchase.
I should probably ask you this in your office. But so our philosophy has been to use cash often for things that could be bonded, large capital items. Not that that's a bad thing. Don't get defensive yet. Mm-hmm. But here we're only talking about $1 million. We're talking about no money. But we're gonna do a 5-year lease for that one. So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, would it be better to use the cash for this? Because that changes, you know, how long do we bond? 15 years? 10, whatever? Yeah. I mean, so if you have a 15-year bond, you've got that. But I just for my thought, I'm thinking it, and it doesn't matter, but, you know, pulling $1 million out for these types of things within the budget, I think is a whole lot easier than using cash for some of the bigger things that are $4 million, $5 million, $6 million to fly in that could be easier bonded, in my opinion, and just use the cash for that. But we're not talking about appropriating monies. I'm just talking about the how. Not necessarily the what. So
right, we typically try to do a nice mix. We do some cash funding, some borrowing. We typically pull, so not to always use cash on our equipment, we pull some of the larger stuff out. We monitor those, so as one drops off, we try to pick up another one. And you can see that we had one lease complete, so using that cash to roll into another lease is kind of where we were balancing it out.
Yeah. And that's good. That's fine. But in this town, we are borrowing money. It's almost like free money. Not really, but a couple percent. And, you know, it's not going to be like that forever. And we have that rate because of the good work that everybody's done. You know, we have good reserves. The budget wins awards every year. So we're now allowed to borrow money at this interest rate. But we're using cash for that, and I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. It's just my own personal thoughts. But
Correct. And so for GO bonds right now, after the borrowing of $35 million we just did, we have a debt capacity of $8 million without going to referendum. Mm-hmm. For lease purchases, these are ones that don't bump up against your debt capacity.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry for bringing that up. Just thinking out loud. We can go to the next if there's no other questions.
The next is looking at the State Accommodations Tax Fund. It has, in this fund, we have two revenues. One is the state accommodations tax, and based on trend, it's projected to increase 7%. We also have funding in there for a TAG grant, which is a tourism and advertising grant, that's a 50-50 match. On the expenditure side, state code requires to allocate 30% to be used for advertising and promotion of tourism to an organization, and currently we're using the Charleston Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Also, we have the match in there. Those are kind of the highlights. Yes.
Any questions? Any comments? You have something, Ms. Landy?
Nope.
Okay.
Next on the this is also still under the budget. As part of the budget, of course, we've discussed the stormwater improvement plan that's in the capital fund. So what that will require is an amendment to Chapter 51. So this program is to address flooding issues in different areas of the town in three phases. The first phase is the study. The second is the design work. And then the third phase is finally the construction. The first project that we really did was Snee Farm, and that's currently in our construction phase. Now we are completing the design on two basins in the Old Village, and in the study phase is Hobcaw Point. The additional funding necessary to fund these projects is through a revenue bond to ensure the town maintains its required debt-to-revenue ratio. It's proposed that the stormwater base rate be increased from $40 to $100 with an escalation factor and a maximum fee of $120 per ERU per year.
$60 to $100.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's a $40 increase. So we can do this a couple of ways, committee. This is going to need to be discussed, I believe. We can wait until the whole presentation is done and then talk about anything as a whole, or we can talk about it right now. But at some point, this discussion starts at this table, and then it goes to full council. And I think it's going to be very difficult. But as one council member, I don't think we have a choice. I don't think we have any choice but to fund this. And I think that, the best way to do it is a revenue bond to protect everything that you mentioned. But so we can start that discussion now if we'd like. Any comments? Joe.
You're right. It does need to be. We're going to have to fix flooding because that puts people's homes in jeopardy. But somewhere, and maybe this is the place to start it, perhaps not. I was thought about waiting till the end of the budget. I want to ask a very candid question. If we went in and cut, went through, found out how much each department could cut, and I understand that's without hurting services too badly, what number we could get, because I think that's while the answer may be none, I think the question has to be asked of, we're funding everything that pretty much that staff is recommending, but I just really feel it's important to ask the question: is there any place where we can cut? And I go back to Hungry Neck Boulevard years ago, and went and looked at all the corners and dustbins and everything else, and we found a lot of the money it took to build Hungry Neck Boulevard. And somewhere we're going to have to do that. Just so we can look at the taxpayer and say, yes, this has been increased, but yes, we have looked in all the corners and saw what we could do, because I think they expect us to ask those questions. So I don't know if this is exactly, I'm going to ask that question, so I don't know if it should come at the end or the beginning, once we see how the budget all shakes out.
To answer Mr. Boothus's question, you go from there. I think it could be either way, but this is a big deal. It's going to take all the other council members' input before we get there. So it will come definitely to the full council. I was just wondering if we would have any kind of unified recommendation or whatever from this committee for that. Doesn't have to be.
You know, and I guess I would follow that by saying, if the money can't be found anywhere else, and I think the town's going to come to that point, if the money can't be found anywhere else, then, yes, we're going to have to look at taxes and fees. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, it's preferably the last choice, as always, right. But the question has to be asked.
Ms. Landy?
Okay. So several folks in the room were here, but I don't think the public was here so much this morning when I made several comments in public service about this. So the first thing is that I have concern. We know we need to do the stormwater improvements. There's no question about that, and we don't want them to have to delay because we don't have a funding source. So we'll put that on the table as we know that. Okay. So then Mr. DeMora earlier explained that there's really only a couple sources. One is to increase the stormwater fee. Another one is to increase ad valorem taxes, so we just simply our millage. So there's a couple things I want to ask. First of all, $40 more on a $60 cost is, you know, what's the math, 80%?
You're the finance woman.
Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. Anyway. So it's a number that is, it's two-thirds.
That was cold. So. See, that was good. I knew she'd get two-thirds. It. I was just letting her come
so
down.
So I'm going to say, okay, so 66%.
There you go. That was good.
All right. So 66% increase, which, again, most people say, oh, $40 doesn't mean that much. But, again, anytime you raise a flat tax or fee, it's regressive. It hits people who have tight budgets much more than people who don't, those who have plenty of spendable money. So raising in this instance hurts the people in our community who are struggling the most. So that's the first problem I have with it. The second one is, what is $40? How many households are we basing this on? I know it's also businesses. So how much money are we talking about raising?
Four.
With $40 per whatever.
So currently, the $60, brings in just under $2.7 million. We anticipate that increasing it by $40 would bring in another $1.8
million. Right. Okay. All right. So $1.8 million is what we need to come up with one way or another. And then it was also said
forever.
Yeah, right. And it was also said that this isn't probably going to do it. It's just going to do it for a while. It's just going to get us down the road, perhaps some period of time, maybe a few years, $1.8 million. Okay. Now, another thing is that next year is our reassessment, property reassessment. And it's not an automatic that we bring in more tax money to the town of Mount Pleasant just because we have a reassessment, even though the cap is 15% every 5 years. So theoretically, if we've grown 15% in property values, we could see a 15% increase in that, except it has to be normalized back down. So having said all that, there may be some number in between, because I asked someone who I know is a tax hawk, and I said, what do you think about this? When we have a reassessment, if your portfolio value goes up by X, you usually expect that you're going to have a little higher cost if there's a cost associated with managing it or whatever. And he said, only if there's a business reason. Well, this is a business reason. We know that drainage has become, stormwater has become a bigger and bigger problem, and it's just going to keep becoming. So here's a business reason where we could justify, and if you take that number off the top on general, on revenues, and we say instead of only giving it, I think that number is less than 3% annual, that property tax increase number that you did, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, if you take that number and all of a sudden you say, wait a second, maybe if after we get the assessments, we take a look and we don't go back to 0.41, maybe it would have been normalized down to, I don't know, 0.36. I'm just throwing that out. And then we say, well, we need to meet somewhere in the middle. Maybe we bring it up to 0.4. We're going to pay less percentage, but our values are higher. But we bring in a lot more revenue in order to, as a business decision, pay for things. So we're not, we are raising taxes, but we're not, because the millage is actually going down. So I'm not saying, I'm not trying to be overly complicated here, but I have looked at this and I just don't believe raising this as a flat tax increase to people, that I just don't think it's the right way to do it.
We've had this discussion before. We disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And we never disagree. But it doesn't matter if a citizen, when you say that the property values have gone up, so the taxes should go up, which I agree with you, mm-hmm. but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
The tax assessor is the person who makes it tax neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're saying, like, I agree with you, that there's a business reason to go up more,
mm-hmm.
that's a tax increase. You can call it whatever you want, but the person who's paying out there is going to say, you raised my taxes, which I'm fine with, as you know. But at the end of the day, it's just, we're going to have to make a decision for people that have residential units to pay for their drainage issues.
Okay. I probably shouldn't have stopped where I did. I apologize for doing that, because I actually like Mr. Bustos' idea the best, which is we go back and we look for every nook and cranny and we figure out where can we possibly pull from this or pull from that. And if it's possible, we come up with that $1.8 million annually for the next several years, and it's probably going to go up further beyond that, from somewhere else, including the fact that we have had a surplus. For a number of years, we've had a surplus. Can we count on that every year? No, but we have had one. But the other issue, which I meant to include as I was saying that about property reassessment, is we are having a lot of economic development. Even as we speak, a lot of new things are coming to Mount Pleasant now that pay bills better than new houses and apartment buildings. And as that continues, which it's going to, we're talking to folks about some really terrific projects, they're going to pay a lot more. And I'm just saying that property tax number may very well be able to grow a lot better than 3%. So I know you want something that's an absolute, maybe there's another way to have a dedicated source. I don't know. Or not, you said you can raise the millage. Well, if you have more money coming in, you don't necessarily have to raise the millage.
Yeah, I mean,
question.
We're projecting $1.5 million more in new money every year. Let's just say we're wrong, and it's $2 million more. 1% of payroll is $350,000. So if we have an interest in trying to pay staff and continue benefits and pay the retirement contribution, we're up to $2 million fast. Even if we're wrong on revenues, been dealing with this budget a long time, and we use many different methods to build it, different budgeting systems and plans and how you put it together. But there's nothing that escapes the fact that any reduction in other places is going to result in a level of service deduction. You're seeing through every department that our operating side, I mean, we're just people. Every department's people. And so the only way we're going to get to the money that we're going to get to support a stormwater improvement program is some kind of decline or freeze or some combination through attrition on the personnel side of the budget. And we can do that. I mean, let's just say, so it's a $33 million payroll, say, I'm not sure even through a freeze or attrition we can get 10%. So we couldn't get $3.3 million, but let's just say we get 5% or so. Let's say you're down in the $1.82 million range. But that is a severe impact on the level of service being provided in every department, all at the expense of stormwater. And so, you are exactly right in what you say about the fee being regressive. And Mr. Bustos, you're exactly right about how you feel a duty, and all of you do, to make sure the money isn't lying around somewhere else you know, and this isn't the first action. It's the last action to raise a fee. But for this kind of money, $30 million, which, by the way, council has asked staff to move forward with the development of a stormwater program, which is what this is. For $30 million, you have to raise it. And we may get more money in taxation with reassessment. That's likely the case. But I think that money, most of that money, if not all of it, is spoken for with growth pressures on the general fund. And also, if we can't start a project, a construction project, without the revenue source, and if we're being honest, if we're having this much discussion about raising the stormwater fee, it's likely we'd have the same amount of discussion on whether to increase taxes or not when that time comes around.
I wish that we could, as we explain this, explain to the public, who actually are way smarter than we think they are, the facts. Mr. Bustos actually has said it a few times from the council chair. The average house, it costs us $1,400 to service. We collect $500. Okay? And the deal that the taxpayers are getting in this town is unbelievable, and nobody understands it. I was meeting with the person last week, smart as anything. Guy develops properties. And he put this sheet of paper in front of me, you know, about all the taxes that he would pay on this whenever. And I'm like, not to us, to everybody, to the school district, to Charleston County Parks, to the county, to everybody else. You're paying us 30% of that number. They don't even understand that. They think they just get a tax bill and we get all this money in here. But I think it's time that there's some kind of what public campaign to explain to the public taxation and what the deal they're getting. And if they paid, you know, it's just whoever uses the service should pay for a service. And right now we're not doing that. And as we have less growth and less growth and the town gets built out, we're going to have to deal with this at some time. And you can look in the corners, and you can find a quarter over there or 50 cents over there. But at the end of the day, I don't know if it's going to be enough. But it's not anybody's fault. The problem is we're not collecting the money that it takes to run a town this size. And we're not. And I don't think we're looking at that. My opinion. Yes. Oh, geez, I got them both. Go ahead, Joe.
I'd also like to chime in here, and you're exactly right, that $1,300, $1,400 figure is correct about, you know, what it costs to service a house in Mount Pleasant. But the other thing is, and I'll go back to the impact fees, that at 80%, we still subsidize every new house because I think it was around $1,500 on the average house. The impact at 80%, the town is picking up 20% of paying the impact fees on new construction. But we've made tremendous progress. It was down around 48%, I believe, at one time, and we did it in increments and all that. But there's still a lot of money that the town providing services to new homes throws us behind. It throws us behind every year. And if we had that money through the years, back when the impact fees were, what was it, 48, 52%, something like that, we could have done all this already.
All of it.
And, you know, and I should think as we go through this that should be on the table, too. The town should quit subsidizing new growth. Thank you.
Kathy.
What was the surplus last year in the budget that we were then able to reallocate? We put more money in the capital improvement plan. We put more money in the general fund. What was that amount?
Yes, ma'am. We added to our fund balance $3.6 million.
Wasn't there a bigger number than that, that some of that went to something else?
Some of it, because we had planned the use of fund balance. So to the extent that we didn't need to use fund balance, it also filled that hole as well.
So what was that total number? I thought it was closer to six, but
right.
Okay. All right. And then wasn't there one the year before as well? This would be before I was.
Six and a half. We the 3 years I've been here, the first 2 years we added $6.5 million to fund balance, and last year 3.6, less whatever additional we had planned the use of fund balance.
All right. So therein lies what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you can have a budget where you always get it exactly right, but if we have a budget that's so well designed and so carefully calculated that we never run under, it's kind of like this is the time of year. If you overpaid your taxes and you now are going to get a federal or state tax refund, you say, yay, I get money back, but actually you just lent the government your money interest-free all year, but you still feel good because you don't have to write a big check. Okay, well, in this case, it's not a very good analogy, but it's sort of an analogy. If we're having excess funds every year, then that's money that was from our taxpayers that we got to have and then reallocate to other things. And I'm just saying, why increase taxes now when we have been running surpluses? Maybe we won't run a surplus this year, and maybe then once we don't run a surplus, maybe we come right to the number. Then we'll say, uh-oh, okay, this next year we're going to have to. And I'm kidding about the uh-oh, but But when we're running a $6 million surplus each year for several years now, I just think that's not the right time to increase fees.
I will get to you. I want to say one more thing to my friend to my left. I think that's actually good budgeting. When you have that amount of money, okay, so let's say we budget it right to the penny, and something like slips. The penalties we pay for going over that budget are big from a bonding standpoint, from everything. So I can't say what Eric does. We've never talked about it. But I'm sure that he submits a budget that's going to make him be able to execute this thing. And what's good is that they're not out. If he can spend all $6 million of that extra money in 1 second, walk into a department head meeting and do that. But the fact that he doesn't and says, we're watching, is what makes that number go. But if we just say we're not going to address the way we pay for this and just live with what an excess is, and I'm pretty sure that in all your years it wasn't a consistent amount of that. So, whatever. Let's Mr. Santos talk. He's kicking me over here. Go ahead.
Well, I just started thinking, y'all talked about finding quarters and this and that. So I did a little bit of math. Earlier we had the Recreation Committee talk to us about the budget. So far this year, the first 2 months of this year, we made $44,734 by renting some of our facilities out, staff, lighting, and things like that. So just doing some math, if it stays like that, comes to about $264,000 this year. That's with what we have now. We're getting ready to build a stadium. Out there, we will be able to lease as well at Carolina Park. We're getting 5 fields back in July, starting July 1st, that we'll be able to rent out when our teams aren't using them. So if you look at that type of revenue, you're looking at $500,000 easy, just doing some simple math right there. And if we are able to develop the property that we already own out at 6 Mile, put some fields out there, and do the same thing with those fields, you're looking at being able to generate some revenue. Now, it's not $30 million, but you're looking at some substantial revenue coming in right there, and we haven't even scratched it yet. I mean, this is just thinking outside the box, but I think if we put our heads together, you're always telling me about, issuing bonds on stuff and use that money to pay those bonds back. I think we ought to look into doing some of that. We already own the property. If we can develop it, put some fields in there, and be able to lease those fields out, it'll generate a tremendous amount of revenue. We ought to see how they're doing it up there at Bay Meadows and look at what they're doing and try and do some of that kind of stuff. It'll generate revenue. We already own the land.
Yeah.
So anyhow, just as an idea, I think recreation can help.
I think it can help as well. I really do.
So the two additional comments, and I know this is taking a lot longer than we intended, but the two additional comments are that Gary's thought is great, and yes, you definitely can look for other sources. I mean, Tom keeps talking about we should be charging more for things, and Rec, y'all are the experts on that, not me, but I hear you. You say that, and I think it makes perfect sense. We're not talking about $30 million. We're not comparing $25 for a class to $30 million. We're comparing $40, which raises $1.8 million year after year, to that, and maybe that $1.8 million could be generated through all these different rec fees and leasing of stadiums and things of that nature. And the other issue, when I go back to what the surplus is, of course we don't know, and we want there to be a surplus because we don't want to go under. But maybe we, right now, I guess we take half of that and put it towards differs from year to year. Half goes to capital improvement.
It's how we fund an unfunded capital plan.
Right. So under that capital improvement plan is the stormwater, and if we're putting I know we borrow a lot of it and we get some great rates, but if we're also putting as much as we can towards stormwater from that money, then the amount we actually have to borrow is a little less. So you take $2 million of the six, and if you don't have it next year, you can't take it, so then you have to do something else. But I'm just saying I really believe that we can solve this without raising that.
Okay. Well, good comments, good discussion. Got a lot more work to do, but it was all good points. How would you like us to vote upon approval? Are there portions that we can approve and others that we will take to full council for?
Yes, sir. I have one more that falls under the budget. No, sir. The five-year general fund. At the budget committee, Mr. DeMora presented the proposed five-year general fund financial plan. So a resolution has been provided to adopt this plan when you adopt the final budget. The first year the plan will be updated to reflect what you adopt as your final fiscal year 2020 budget. This plan will provide the framework for the continuance of service provisions and proposed necessary resources. So just that'll be other. So now you have on your agenda, you have items A through G, which are all pieces of the budget for your recommendation to the budget committee.
Okay. So can we approve all but F at this time and then let F go to full council for more input?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
You certainly... It may just be easier just to approve them all with further discussion on the stormwater
all right, that sounds
program
good. That
to
sounds
be handled
good.
At budget committee.
One comment, Marcy and your staff, and I know that I felt it was important to have a five-year budget instead of a one-year budget. It helps us, I think, get nervous because when we can look out and say, uh-oh, we've got work to do, that helps us. So I really applaud seeing a five-year thing in front of us right now. It's going to help us. It's going to help us plan, and I think it's going to help the citizens where they can look and see the math on that. So thank you. So I guess we're asking for a motion to approve in concept with further discussion the budget review for 2020.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? You were allowed to make a comment.
I know. I don't want to vote against moving forward on the budget. Obviously, this has to go to council, but I don't want to be for something and then I'm against it. I'm not in favor of going forward with that piece of it.
Okay.
So how do you do that?
Vote against.
We have a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm.
So we vote on that first.
I
we
know,
see where
but
that
if I
goes.
Vote for the, yeah.
Mr. Busto.
Well, first, you can change your vote on anything between first, second reading, committee, and council and all that. You know, there's a lot of discussion that's going to follow, just to lay your fears. There's a lot of discussion that's going to follow. And trust me, a lot of the things, well, maybe not a lot, but there'll be some things that will change when it gets to full council discussion.
Are you concerned a little bit about having you vote for
approval
on the record?
I've already been in that position where I came back, not from the public, from another council member, where I voted for something that I strongly said, I feel this way about it.
Okay.
But I voted to send it to council, and then they came back multiple times and said, you voted for it before you were against. And I said,
no,
I didn't.
Why don't you vote no?
Because I was told we need to advance this so that the whole council can see it. Right. And I said, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Well, how about if we vote and we see if it's going to get advanced?
That's probably
okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
There. Everyone's happy. Okay. Marcy, that was great. Thank you very much. Item four?
Yes, sir. So this is an update to the business license ordinance. This goes, we opened the ordinance up to look at some things that we need to make consistent with the short-term rentals, and while we're there, we wanted to go ahead and do a few other things. So I'd like to first provide some general information. The business license is a tax, and it's self-reported, and it doesn't by any means imply that they've met any regulatory or other issues. It's simply a tax. Currently, property rentals fall under real estate activity for owner rentals, and you're required to have five or more before you have to have a business license. In terms of estimating how much the business license is currently for short-term rentals of five or more units by one owner, you can calculate it based on their possible gross receipts. If they made $25,000, the business license would be $77.03. And then you see if they made $50,000. Currently, we are not collecting any business license for anyone that has five or more rentals. Again, self-reported. For long-term rentals, if the gross receipts are $24,000, the business license would be $138.42. It does fall in a different classification. And year-to-date, the town's received about $261,000 in business license tax. The proposed changes to the business license ordinance are as follows. First is to delineate between short-term and long-term rentals when a business license would be required. One or more units rented less than 30 consecutive days would be considered short-term and would require a business license. More than 30 consecutive days would be considered long-term, and we chose having three or more because they both currently are saying five or more. We chose having three or more would require a business license. That gives you a little play if a family member passes and you have their house as well. But we figure once you go into three, you're really in the business, and that's when it comes to the business license. The next proposed item is the addition of references to two newer ordinances to refer to when business license could be denied, suspended, or revoked for delinquent penalties owned or repeat violations. So these are newer ordinances. So since we refer to a couple others, we went ahead and incorporated them as well. The proposed changes also include streamlining the appeal process to conform with other town appeal processes. It even tells you how many witnesses currently. We just want to streamline it like our other ordinances. And the last proposed change is instead of having the nexus code within the ordinance, we refer to it because it does change, and so we want to be able to just refer to the latest and greatest, but we would include the most frequently used just as a reference for our citizens to help them out.
Okay, good. Are there any questions for Marcy or comments by the committee? Hearing none, we are looking for a motion to approve the updates presented by Marcy.
I'll make a motion to recommend approval of the business license ordinance updates.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, number five.
Yes, sir. Mount Pleasant Waterworks. I know their CFO's here. Mount Pleasant Waterworks came to us, and it went through town council to get approval to apply for a loan, and they have been approved to receive a $7 million SRF loan.
Do we need any Do we need any come?